This is going to be titled The Test, so I hope you pass. No one can ever be good enough to pass this test, just to let you know up front, because if you miss one point, you'll have failed them all. Failure leads to death. The special few, however, will have someone else pass the test in their stead, but those without knowledge of this special person will fail. A few are set to be those who guide others to this solution, so they might come to seek the knowledge of the book. All who truly seek will find, but most will have never heard of this, of the guides, to have any knowledge of the book with rules for the test. And another point, there will be an evil super being trying to pull everyone to fail the rules of the book, which will lead to them being punished in an eternity without end. You are automatically signed up for the class and the test, even if you've never heard of the book or its author. The vast majority will fail, even though the book has in its pages that it is not the will of the author that any should perish, and that his love for you, the pupil, is without end. Sounds pretty grim, but that's what millions of professing Christians believe. One of my coworkers said people who don't do the right thing deserve to go to hell. And I told her that I didn't believe God sent people to hell. And she said, "Don't you believe that that's what they deserve?" And so I asked her, would she send her kids to hell? And she goes, "Well, of course not." I said, "Then why would a perfect, loving father who created us send his kids to hell?" And she just kind of stared off in the distance, and you could see the wheels turning. She was thinking about that. I don't know what she ever concluded on it, but I know she was thinking about it. She might be. And what does the Bible really say? Did God create mankind and then choose to allow the vast majority to fall away and the evil tempter to win? We are going to answer these three questions. What is the purpose of the creation of mankind? What is the penalty for breaking the law? And what was God's plan from the beginning? If you'll turn to Genesis 1:26, point one, what is the purpose of the creation of mankind? Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. It shows in the previous verses that everything was created after its kind, but now clearly states that mankind is created in the image of God, after the God kind. Did God just want a lot of people created in his image so he could punish them for all eternity? Does he take pleasure in this? God gives the answer in Ezekiel 18:23. "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" He has plans to keep increasing his kingdom throughout eternity. Mankind is not just another part of a creation where everything has an equal standing. Man was a special creation that was created incomplete and needs something added to finish that creation. God is still creating, and he is creating his own sons. Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. Even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So point two, what is the penalty for breaking the law? Turn to Proverbs 10, 16, verse 16. What separates us from becoming begotten sons and failing in our creative purpose? Proverbs 10, 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. Also in Romans 6:23 we read, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice it says eternal life is a gift. We do not have immortality. It must be given. Death in this verse is Strong's G2288, which is Thanatos. This is a word for death that is used for the second death. In Revelation, in the first three chapters, we're talking about the churches, and again, chapter 20, the death of no return, no resurrection. This would seem to support the belief that anyone who has ever sinned but not received the gift of God in this life is doomed for failure. But is that what he was saying? Point three, what was God's plan for redemption from the beginning? If you'll turn to John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How do you get that added component that makes you born of God and provides for the penalty being paid for your sin through the death of our Savior? In my younger days, I had a friend. I said all you had to do to be saved was accept Jesus as my Savior. Even then, I told him I was sure it required more than that, even though I did not know anything that was required. I didn't know any Bible verses or nothing. I mean, it might have been a Saturday night, and I might not have been out partying, but I knew that the next day or the next weekend, I would be in the bar with my friends, partying, having a good time. I just didn't think that saying that and then not changing my life was the right thing to do. And I wasn't prepared to change my life. I was having fun the way I was living. I know that first, you do have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. This point most Christians seem to understand. But there's more to it than that. Next, you have to repent of past sins. Many do not understand that repentance involves a change of heart, not just saying some magic words or feeling remorse that you had ignored who Jesus really was and what he did for mankind. After repentance comes baptism, laying on of hands. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that allows God to continue his creation in you. Only then can you start to develop holy, righteous character and the nature of God with the ability to choose right over wrong. What about those who have died without receiving this fabulous gift of the Holy Spirit? Does God not give his children created in his image that this is the truth much of the professing Christianity is blinded to? If you'll turn to Revelation 20 and verse 5. Revelation 20. And verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Those in the first resurrection will be alive during those 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead will be resurrected in another resurrection at the end of those 1,000 years. Skip down to verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Daniel 7:10 also mentions these books being opened in a courtroom. A fiery stream issued and came forth before them. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. The same book will be opened to them that has been opened to all who have faced the test before, and they will be judged by their own actions based on the laws of the book, which will now be available to them. Our Creator calls the first death sleep. The Holy Book lets us know the dead know nothing. They are not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're asleep until the right time for them to be awakened. In Job 14:14, Job asked, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, and I will wait till my change comes. Verse 15, you shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. Job is still in the grave, sleeping, waiting for that call. Just like sleep, he has no concept of the passage of time. Sure, we're all going to fail, but that does not mean we'll not succeed. We can never be good enough. The loving Father always has a plan that included the reconciliation of all mankind back to him, except a very few. The judgment for failure has been taken care of, and the penalty has been paid. All praise, glory, and honor belong to him. Not that there will be any absence of trials or conflicts. We don't grow without having pressures. But we just have to endure to the end. Those who do not succeed decide their own fate because their heart has become so hardened. They would rather die than be under the rule of God. They will die the second death and cease to exist, not live on as an immortal soul in a state of torment. As we already read in Romans 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have peace knowing that our family members who died without knowing the truth will have their chance, and the vast majority will rejoice in that knowledge. God is not a God of failure, and his zeal will accomplish his will of having a vast family of immortal children like him in image and in character.